This show is brought to you by Texture. Go to texture.com/Joey and they're offering our listeners a free trial. You'll gain immediate entry to all of the top magazines, including back issues and bonus video content. That's texture.com/Joey. Show is also brought to you by blueapron.com. Go to blueapron.com/Joey and check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping included. That's blueapron.com/Joey, blueapron.com/Joey.
Oh shit. Halloween is not creeping up on you. It's the church of what's happening now, bitches. Without the candle, I forgot it. What are you gonna do? Strap on your motherfucking seatbelts. I could have been backstage at Black Sabbath, but I fucking went with you motherfuckers. You know why? Because I love you. 10 o'clock after I talk to you. A kid I haven't spoken to in 2 fucking years calls. And he goes, my girlfriend can't fucking go tonight. And you're the only other Sabbath fanatic. He got the VIP package, the whole fucking
thing. You could have told me. I would have come.
It's not about that. It's about commitment. We got to give these people, they wake up Monday mornings, Tuesday. Here you go, cocksuckers. Kick that muley. Oh, shit. Are you fucking kidding me? The wind don't wait for no one. Cozy Powell on the drums. Listen to this shit. Kick that muley. Kick that muley.
I think there's a low YouTube video.
Here we go. Oh, shit. Blood on the streets, cocksuckers.
Oh, my God.
Watch that foot. Church of what's happening now with my main man, Lee Syatt, and Josh Adam Myers.
What's up, everybody?
Master of fucking music. I love him to death. We want to talk about the goddamn comedy jam and all that fun stuff. I want to give a shout out to the man of the church, Bobby Sharon. Down in Austin for almost killing Lee. He took him to Chewy's and barbecue.
Oh, Black's barbecue. The best. Chewy's was an experience. Like, I feel like a lot of people who listen and watch to this, Joey, are like, they laugh, but they're like, why is Joey so like, why does he have all these rules about food? Ranch is okay. I like hummus. But after going to specifically Chewy's, I can understand a little bit. Of why you get so serious. Like,
what about food? What rules do you have?
I just don't understand why you're eating this shit when the good shit's available to you.
With like fast food and things like that, or
just a bunch of shit like that. We fucking complain. It's on TV. But it's like anything else in life, you know. They advertise cigarettes will kill you. I smoked cigarettes for 10 fucking years. Mm-hmm. Cocaine will kill you. We all did go.
Mm-hmm.
It's no difference. But when it comes to food, I have this fucking burning desire. Like, after my mother died, I didn't eat that food no more. Just because I knew it would never be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to make it like mom's. And I've tried it. One time, I broke my rule, and I almost wanted to shoot myself.
What do you mean? Like comfort food or like meatloaf shit like that?
All kinds of fucking food. Like Cuban food, Chinese food, fucking, you know. Shit like that. Do you eat Chinese food?
I do, but I haven't found a place out here.
Okay,
in Los Angeles.
Number one. That's what I'm talking about. Shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
That will keep going to a shitty Chinese restaurant. Then one day you're like, why am I eating this? This is not what I grew up with.
Yes, 100%.
This is not the quality. I'll never eat it again until I go home.
But when I was in San Francisco doing Outside Lands, like we went to Chinatown and there was a spot there that I'd eaten at and I fucking ate there and it was incredible.
Couple spots,
it was incredible.
Couple spots.
But out here, I don't have one yet.
No, no. And you'll have one for a while and then they'll go sour on you.
I had that experience last night, not with Chinese food, but like one of my like fucked up meals is Shake Shack, which is just like that New York like burger
place.
What's
Shake Shack?
It's like a burger place. It's like a In-N-Out for like the East Coast, but they open up one on like in like Boytown, like on like Crescent Heights with La Cienega and Santa Monica. And I went there last night. I've been going there not routinely, but like once every couple weeks. And I went there last night and it wasn't right. It just didn't taste right. And now I'm done with it. Because it's about consistency.
Again,
it's all consistency.
Nobody wants to be consistent. No,
just
more.
Just be consistent.
And they're corporate, so they don't have to. You know what I'm saying? Like when we were kids, we grew up at Mitch's Deli. Okay, I'm just saying a name.
But I've been to Mitch's. And I've been to Mitch's. Mitch, and there's Zeus's. They're all.
And
whatever
you had your
you
Mitch. Mike, these right, mics yeah. are too high, brother. These mics are too high. We're going to blow each other out here. What do you call, everybody has their Mitch's Deli.
Mm-hmm.
So now you go into that deli, you become friends with Mitch. He knows what you want. He even goofs on you. Oh, it's Mr. Monster with turkey on a fucking piece of rye bread.
Extra gravy on his fries. All right, you know, you put me out of business with all the gravy you're getting extra. You know, I should charge you, but I don't.
And they bust your balls.
Yeah, of course.
And when something's fucked up, you can say, Mitch, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What, you didn't put your glasses on today, Mitch? Oh, I'm sorry. I'll throw in a complimentary pickle, you know, and you're like, what the fuck, Mitch? I've been coming here 10 years. I don't give a fuck about your pickle. You're slipping.
Yeah.
It's done. He'll only do that once in his life because maybe his daughter stayed out late, and by mistake, he'll put fucking mustard instead of mayonnaise.
Sure,
that guy.
Sure.
That'll, you know what I'm saying? I go to that. I used to go a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to lose weight, so sometimes I go by that fucking Jersey Mike's. All I want is turkey on wheat with cheese, mayonnaise, and fucking lettuce and the tomato, salt mm-hmm. and pepper. Do you know I asked them like 3 times they fucked that sandwich up?
How do they fuck that up?
You know why? What? I'll tell you why. Because the fucking dude stops you and he goes, what do you want? And you tell him. And then he puts on the thing. So this jerk off over here is putting shit on the thing. He's talking to you, but also he goes, what do you want on yours? So nobody could do
he's
that.
He's getting like 5 orders at once.
Nobody could do
think,
that.
So you say, somebody says jalapenos, the next thing you know,
however,
he throws a couple
unless
pieces
you grow
on
up
yours.
In that,
yeah.
Unless you grow up in that, you're not going to be that good. That Jersey Mike shit. So after 3 or 4 times they fucked up my sandwich, I can't go back there. Not to mention it's fucking horrific.
Yeah, that kid's working at New York it's Film
horrific.
Academy.
It's
he doesn't
horrific.
Give a fuck about
the food
your
is
sandwich.
Fucking horrific.
Well, yeah. Nobody, dude. Most people that work in places don't give a fuck about. That's why my dad always said this, and this is something I respect more than anything. If you're going to go to a restaurant, make sure the owner's there. Make sure the owner's in the building. No chains, no fuck. I don't give a fuck if they've got 2 stores. Like, he's like, go to the one that the owner, you know what I mean? Go to the original joint because they give a fuck. You know what I mean? When I grew up, we never went. There's like an Outback Steakhouse that was like the most popular restaurant in Germantown, Maryland, where I grew up. And we never went there. We always went to like Italian Pines, or if we wanted a steak, we went to like Chris Fields or some shit like that. It was just, that was what my dad believed in. And every time we went there, it was a dope meal. Food was right. And like you said, if they fucked it up, they were like, oh, you didn't enjoy it tonight, Mr. Myers? Let me hook you up. You know what I mean? I'll give you some tiramisu or something. You know what I mean?
Complimentary pickles.
Yeah.
It's the same shit. That, you know, it's just, and I'm used to all those little things. I'm used to, you know, the food to be quality. Like, and I catch myself a lot of times. I go to a place, eat, and go, that wasn't bad. Then I go there again as I'm eating. I go, this is fucking terrible.
Mm-hmm.
This is fucking terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So with Lee, if there's a bad restaurant, Lee will pick it. He's just got that luck. I love him with all my heart. He's a great kid.
But I have bad luck.
He's like, I heard about this place, Applebee's. It's going to be good.
His first intention is just god-awful. Mm-hmm. And you sit there and go, Lee, I can't believe it. This is what you're looking at. Saturday, we're in the hotel. When I call him, I go, what's going on? And he goes, nothing. I just woke up. Now, we actually sat there the day before and we're breaking down Austin food. You know, their specialty is Franklin's. It's barbecue and mm-hmm. Blacks and all that stuff. And we spoke about Chewy's and Papacito's and all these little mom and pop taco places. He mentioned a few trucks. He's from Connecticut.
Bobby Sharon.
So he said, you know, the Chinese food is just god awful. There's always that one spot that's a 5.
Mm-hmm.
But when they fuck it up, it's a 3 so that you don't go back again.
Mm-hmm.
He said all this stuff. You know, the Chinese food just got awful. The next morning, I talked to Lee. And it's like Lee never heard the conversation. He goes, that's a Chinese place up the corner over here.
I heard the conversation.
They got
but
Kung Pao or some shit, the Goombao, whatever, Bao Bao. And I'm like, Lee, I don't know what happened with the fucking Asians that we grew up with never made it down here.
To Austin.
And it's just, I've never come to Austin if somebody said, you got to go to this Chinese restaurant. Never. 20 years I've been to Austin.
Yeah, it's a lesson.
I go, Lee, you're in the land, the fucking, you know. and you want to go to some dump. We just discussed this
yesterday. Yeah.
But he would have gone.
It was right
and
across the
sick
street.
And ate Billy Goat meat and the whole fucking thing.
He's picking like lobster rolls in Idaho.
Yeah, it's just, you know,
he's trying. Yeah, I mean,
it was right across the street, and I didn't.
He believes Yelp. He listens to Yelp.
Yelp's a crock of shit.
So Yelp is all these fucking Gentiles that live around the corner, live in Studio City. What the fuck do they know about food?
They don't know anything.
Nothing. They eat fucking pizza from that place where if you eat the salad, your wife will give birth within 3 days. Get the fuck out of here. Some fucking salad dressing is going to make my wife snap. Fucking people.
But the queso at Chewy's was... like, I've never had anything like it. I've never had queso before.
Queso dip?
Yeah.
Queso dip, dude. Nah, I date this girl, and she's from, like, South Carolina, man. And we go to the supermarket. She's like, we should get some queso dip. I'm like, that's fucking white trash shit right there.
No.
It's all about salsa, baby.
You know I love you to death. The queso in South Carolina is fucking disgusting because they probably make it with crab slices.
Yeah.
And your asshole clogs up. But listen to me.
This queso dip was legit?
Your world will change.
Okay.
Listen, Chewy's as a Tex-Mexican restaurant, I tell you this sincerely, as sincerely as I can. I used to go to Houston. I've showed people the YouTube videos. I shot cold case. After a 2-week stint in Houston, you'll look at me and go, Joey, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
And I go, it's the number one place for fat people, Houston, Texas.
Oh, I know that.
Number two is Dallas. Why do you think that is? Because the food is garbage? No,
because queso dip.
Queso dip, kolaches for breakfast. And you walk into a restaurant in Houston and go, hi, I love a kale shake with oatmeal sprinkled with goat cheese. They will throw a beating on you. You know, that they probably served that at Barnaby's, the one gay restaurant. But Barnaby's also has a meatloaf. I was telling him that when you cut it, it has mozzarella cheese and little chunks of garlic in it.
Yeah.
You never seen them.
You're making me hungry.
With a mountain pash of mashed potatoes with gravy on the side. Now listen, between you and me, I'm not a gravy dude because there's animals out there. There's animals out there.
Sure.
You know, to be when you travel, you realize that 8 out of 10 brown gravies are fucking horrific.
Mm-hmm.
Horrific. This place is gravy.
And this is in Houston. I'll be in Houston in November.
I'm with you.
November 18th. Oh, and you're fucking. You're doing the show, dude.
Yeah.
You're doing whatever the goddamn show. Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah. We're all down there. Red Band, Tony Hinchcliffe. Yeah.
I'm trying to get Red Band to do it.
We're gonna go to
Tony. He just did the show, and he did great. He did George Michael's "Careless Whisper" in Tony's voice. It didn't change. It didn't get melodic. It was just "I'm never gonna dance again."
Now that's a good. You know what's a good song for the goddamn comedy?
What's that?
Dun 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 dun. George Michael.
But I know that. Oh my dude! Justin Martindale did that.
What song?
It's called Freedom. Freedom Night. Well, here's what's funny. I wasn't he. What this is like? We'd already done like 3 or 4 shows at that point, and like he had I've been friends with him for a while, and he's like, Josh, I want to do the show. And I'm like, all right, I'll get you, man. Don't worry. And then he's just kept bugging me. He goes, dude, I know what song I want to do. I go, well, just tell me anyway. I mean, I don't really have spots coming up. And he said, George Michael Freedom. And I go, you're doing it next month. It's like one of my favorite songs.
That song.
And dude, that was the first show that people stood up and danced. He was the first guy to go up, and nobody, it's because the first like 4 shows, like everybody just sat there and they were enjoying it, but they just didn't get into it. And halfway through the song, he stops and then he's like, I told him, I was like, dude, if you're going to do the show and you can do this song, I need you to go 1,000,000% gay, dude. I need you to be full-fledged homosexual when you're doing this song. And dude, halfway through, he stopped and he goes, get up, you fucking bitches. And everybody stood up. And from that point on, as soon as the music hits, everybody stands.
Now, how did the goddamn comedy jam get created?
So we used to do a theater show at this place. Did you ever do the Unknown Theater? On Santa Monica and Seward. Sarah Tiana and this girl, Laura Valdivia, ran this room. It was in this old theater, like kind of in the theater district, but in a cut. Like it was like hidden from everybody. And it was more of a speakeasy than a theater. Like it was a theater. The guy put on plays, but like every play probably lost money because like the dude was like great at building sets. And so 1 month you'd be performing there and you'd be performing in like a gay, on stage would be like a gay bathhouse. And then like 2 months later, you're performing at like a gay resort. It was always a gay related. Like one year we were like performing inside a gay man's asshole. It was just, everything was gay related for all of his plays, but he was a super straight dude, just put on gay plays. So we do the shows there every night the show would end and they had a bunch of musical instruments. So we'd all pull them up and we'd just start dicking around. It'd be like me, Brett Ernst, then Chris Porter, Sarah Tiana, then Burr started showing up. And everybody would drink until like 2, 3, 4 in the morning. And it just kind of got started there. And then when the girls left, this dude I worked on this, we took the show over and me and this other dude were like, yo, let's bring a band into it to be like the house band. So they're the light. So when you started, you were like performing, they'd bring you up and then they'd walk off stage. You do your set. And then we didn't want to light you. Like the band would come back on stage and then you'd wrap up your set. And sometimes comics would start fucking around with the band. They'd be like, what songs do you know? And then somebody, they start playing it and then they sing it. So that's how the idea got kind of like started. That theater then shut down and I became cool with the band. That was our house band. And I just kept in touch with them. We started getting booked at different spots. And then we moved to a place in Studio City. We did 2 shows. It was cool, but it really didn't pick up. You know what I mean? It was just in a weird venue called Marika's. The chick that ran it was a fucking crazy bitch. Like, she was completely insane. Didn't really. We packed the house out. She was just ripping us off. So then we stopped. But at that show, Adam Devine went up, and he did a song instead of doing a set. He was like, what songs do you know? And the band's like, well, I forget what song it was. It was like Sugar Sugar or some shit like that. And he played it, and the audience went bananas. And at that point, that's 2010, that's when I was like, that's the show right there. Wow. That's the show. Now, I was at 2010, I've been doing comedy 2 years. I'm a good enough comic, you know what I mean? I know how to make people laugh. I was doing well. I wasn't passing any real clubs yet, but I was like doing shows. But I wasn't ready to do that show the way I wanted to do it. So I sat on it, and I got better at stand-up. And then, went through some certain shit that kind of changed everything in 2012. And then started getting more and more opportunities out here. Like I got Montreal and like was on every showcase and I was touring a little bit and I was making money, but I wasn't getting what I wanted out of this town. I was like, you know, we were talking before you turned the mics on, like this town is, it's a funky ass town, man. You know what I mean? Like you could be the most talented person in the world, but you ain't getting shit and other people are just surpassing you. And it was really JFL that did it. New Faces just fuck with me because that was supposed to be the turning point in my career. That was supposed to give me everything. It didn't. And so I was going to move to New York. And then right before, like a year around that point, after I did New Faces, I was like, you know what? Before I move to New York, let me try this show out. And it was really just going to be you do a set and then you do a song. There was going to be no story. And I was talking to this like much bigger comic trying to pitch him the idea. And he was like, I don't see it working. He's like, this ain't going to work. And I'm like, why not? He goes, this is a comic doing a song. I don't see how that'll, just to be weird. And then I was with another comic. And he said, maybe you should just have him tell a story. And I was like, yeah, there it is, dude. That's the fucking bow. And then we did the first show. And luckily, I got Burr to do the first one. He was super excited about it. And then it's just been a hit ever since.
He put the wig on and everything.
He did, Burr. Dude. That first show, I've never seen anybody get more excited.
And he played the drums. He was all
in. He's the only guy that, he doesn't sing. He sings in the final group song. But he used to play drums with us. And that was like, I ran into it at the Comedy Store. Like I had the idea. Somebody came up to me and says, hey, I want to do a show with you. And I'm like, listen, man. I was like, I don't want to do a regular show. I got this idea. And when I pitched the idea to this dude, he was like, oh, that's it, man. 100%. We got to fucking do that. And I'm like, hey, it's it. I don't know, man. Is it going to work? Are people going to be into it? It's hard to do a show out here in LA. And then a week later, I ran into Burr. And I was like, I started talking to him about music and he goes, you know, dude, we should start jamming again. And I'm like, well, I got this show idea. And immediately he was just like, I'm in. He goes, I shoot my special at the end of June. He goes, set it up for July. And then I was like, fuck it. Now I got to do the show. Now I got a big name. I just got to find a venue. And I had the band already. They were on hold just doing their own shit. And then I literally stumbled into the Lyric, which is the old venue we used to do it at. And it was just like everything about that show has been perfect. It is just, I haven't changed it. The first show is exactly like the show I do now, 2 years later. It's the same format, same band. I've added a couple players to it, but it just runs like clockwork, man. It's great. So much fun.
2010, 2009, I was living in Hollywood, confused like everybody else. The next level, do I get a day job? 1,000 fucking dilemmas. And one of the things I was thinking about, Josh Adam Myers, was that when is America going to get sick and tired of watching 3 comics? I'm a comic, and I'm telling you this from my perspective. Mm-hmm. When is America going to get sick and tired of going to a show and watching three comics? I go, something has to happen. And a bunch of things. Not that I created them in my mind. I just always said, wow, it would be interesting to see something else. And I saw Rap Battle. You know, there was a couple shows I saw that were different. You know, Ari did the storytelling stuff.
Yeah.
And I saw the pictures from you with Burr, and I giggled. I go, this might fucking work. I said it when I saw Burr.
Yeah.
I go, this might work because I get what he's doing. You know, we're all, 50% of comics are just not failed musicians, but maybe aspiring musicians. Mm-hmm. Then we figured out that if we get a guitar, we'll end up pawning it 10 times, so we can never be consistent with it, I guess. So that was my thing. I would have got a guitar, but I knew I was snorting blow. I would have pawned it 8 times. And I would have showed up with a ukulele and got fired, you know, shit like that. But what, I'm really happy that this worked. Like, I'm fucking ecstatic.
Thank you
like
very much.
Then you called me. It was Super Bowl Sunday. We couldn't get our dates together because the...
Was it? I've been trying to get you on. I've been trying to get you on for a while. And this, I think it was, we had you on another date and then the date got moved or something happened.
No, Super Bowl. They didn't want to rehearse on Super Bowl Sunday. So Monday, we figured, it was February 4th or something like that.
Okay.
And then you asked me if I could do the 28th. I was out of town the 28th. And then I bump in. Then the show sold. And I could tell you were overwhelmed. You were very overwhelmed. I had read that it sold. And when I read that it sold, I was so happy. I was happy for you, but I was happy for comedy. Because, you know, this is what we need. We need something different. We need, this is what makes you stronger as a comic, is going to different avenues.
Sure.
The central focus is still comedy. It's not like I'm going from football to fucking baseball.
Well, no, it's you're still going. Like, people ask me, it's like you know, so it's like a music show. I go, no, it's a comedy show, first and foremost.
I fucked up because I didn't know it was a story. Somebody told me when I got off stage, what was the story towards that song?
You were just like, all right, let's do this, cocksuckers.
Yeah.
No, but it's like, and that was my bad because I should have explained it more. But I remember that you had mentioned that was what you wanted to do. And I always want the comics to be within their wheelhouse of what they feel comfortable doing. And that song was perfect for you. You made it your own. So it's you're supposed to do 8 minutes of stand up, tell the story, just relate to the audience why you chose it. And I figured, I wasn't watching it because I was.
No, I was doing fucking stupid jokes up there on a Monday. But it was, I got to tell you something. I had cold feet that afternoon. You know, even though I couldn't rehearse the song in the shower, even though I had written the lyrics and all that stuff, I'm like, I'm going to fucking eat dick up there tonight. But the funniest thing was, I get a little bit of anxiety at the store. When I walk up the steps to the OR,
okay,
I always get a little touch of anxiety. Sometimes I have to actually sit down and do breathing exercises. I see the light go on, and it gives me more anxiety. When the song started, I don't know if you noticed, I was looking at the drummer for a reason. Because it was coming on big time. I thought I was going to pass out on stage a few times. When I turned around and saw all those people, it was real. It reminded me of when Marky Wahlberg got hit in the head in that movie he made as a singer.
Rockstar.
Yeah. And the first, remember the first fucking song he did? He got hit in the fucking head and he fell down. And
Stand up and shout out.
And he looked at the audience and they were blurry. That's what I was seeing. When I turned the first time and saw, if you would have been next to me, I would have gone down like a fucking ton of bricks.
You killed it.
I would have gone down. But I was very anxious up there. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't catch my fucking
breath. The song's got 8 lyrics.
No, I know. It's got 4 different fucking.
You don't even have to sing it. It's literally just say it.
It was perfect.
You chose the perfect song.
Perfect song, yeah. No, it was perfect.
You made it your own. Especially when you were like, you know, you're like, now they do what you do. What is it? Now I do what is it? I can't think of the lyric for something.
Now you do what they tell you.
Yeah. Now they do what you tell you. He made it so, like, he was so Joey doing it. Just like, nah, you know, you were just so fucking good, man. It was top 5. Like, you caused a riot, dude. You caused a fucking riot.
I had so much fucking anxiety that night. Like, you have no idea where my anxiety was in the middle of that song. If you wouldn't, I kept looking at you and then looking back at the drummer. Like, I was making believe like I was having a good time with the drummer. No, because every time I looked at that audience, my head would spin to 360.
I'm sorry.
Not your fault at all. Not your fault at all. I don't know what it, but it, you know what? Even at the 25-year mark, it's great to still have that fear before you go on stage, my brother.
That's, you know, it's,
you when know, you lose that fear, just go home and pack it up. That's go do something else.
That's what Burr, we opened for, so November last year, we did Gramercy Theater in New York. We did the jam there. Burr was on that. And then the next day, before he did Madison Square Garden, we went and he rented a bunch of instruments, drum set and all the shit. We played at Madison Square Garden for like 3 hours. And then we did, and then we all hung out and watched his set. And afterwards, he had this huge party. And I was saying goodbye after chilling for a while. And he goes, and I said, dude, thank you so much, dude. Like everything you've done. It's been it was actually on my birthday too. I was like, it's been the best birthday of my life, man. Hands down, this is one for the ages. And he's like, he goes, no, man, thank you. And I'm like, why? And he goes, because of your show the night before in front of 700 people, I wasn't nervous to perform in front of 14,000. Do you know what I mean? And that's the cool thing is like that you've been doing this for so long and people like Burr and you know, and just everybody that's done the show, like you will get nervous doing this because like while you're performing, there's that ticking clock in your head. You're like, oh, shit, dude, I got to sing Down Under by Men at Work. God damn. Like, yeah, but it's the thing is, like, it's not something to be nervous about because the crowd is so supportive. They're not they don't want to see you fail. Like, dude. And like we've had people like we call it like, you know, when you Jay Larson the song, which is, you know, Jay. Jay fucking the first time he did the show. The first show was Matt Bronger, Jay Larson, Ryan Sickler, and then Burr. And Jay went up second. And I remember Bronger goes up first. And I'm like, I don't think this is going to work, man. Like the crowd seemed like they're into it, but they're not standing. It just seemed really weird. And then Jay went up and he did Message in a Bottle by the Police. Right. And he, dude, everything about that song, like he fucked it up. Like he was singing the verse during the chorus and the chorus during the verse. He was all over the place. And the crowd just started singing with him to get him back in the right place. But the whole time he's up there just bobbing and dancing and going crazy and committing to it. And that was when I knew the show was going to work because the crowd went fucking bananas. So nobody's eating shit on it. Not one person.
No.
Not one person. Since we've done, they care about you guys and they love you. They're your fans. They come out here to see you do this. And so they get excited when they know you're going to be on it because they want to see what you're going to do. And they know you're not going to be Whitney Houston on the goddamn motherfucking thing. They know that it's going to be your version of it. And that's why it's cool. You know?
How did the show get to air A to Z?
To get on television?
Yeah, from A to Z. How long was the process?
Two years. It's been 2 years from the first show that we got. Well, I've sold it twice. So I do the show. We do the first show. Ryan Sickler does that show. Ryan's one of my best friends. He calls me like a week or so later. He's like, dude, I had so much fun. Thank you for having me on it. I got this guy I want you to meet, the Duffys, right? They have a production company, and I told them about your show, and they want to sit down and talk to you about turning it into a TV show. And like after the first one, everybody was like, oh, this is going to be a TV show. This is going to be a TV show. That's not why I started. I started because it's fun. I go and take the meeting with the Duffys and they're like all about it. And so they're like, we're going to come out and shoot it. And then we're going to do like a sizzle reel for it. So they did that. We signed an agreement like, so that was July 2014. We signed an agreement in December 2014. We sold it on our first pitch to CW, which was like, for me, I was like, we walked in there like, this is our throwaway pitch. This is there. We do not expect them to buy. It's literally practice for us. We went in there, the Duffys talk, and then that was it. I added a few like, yeah, and then they could do this, and then they could do this. But I was like totally nervous. It's the first time I've ever pitched a show to a big network, regardless if it's a throwaway. And then a week later, they're like, yeah, we want to do a pilot with you. And they then held the show hostage for – that was
– CW held it?
CW held it hostage for probably like 5 months. Where they were like, you know, we signed a deal with them and then we were getting ready to shoot it. And it literally went from one dude who bought it. Then we had to take it and then pitch it again to his boss. He loved it. And then we had to go to the head of the network, to Mark Pedowitz. And Pedowitz didn't like it. He was like, I don't really see it working. And that was it. So we got it back. before Montreal, 2015. And everybody there, dude, it was just the hit of the festival. We were going, it was like literally, there was our show and Roast Battle, and that was it. Everything else was like secondary. And we had Burr on it, and every show was sold out, and we just, me and the band just fucking brought it. We knew it. We knew how big of an opportunity this was. We were like, we're performing for every buyer, like every television network, and every show we treated it like it was the biggest show in our lives. Like, as we do even the ones out here. I mean, we really just commit to everything. So we did the show. We got back, and then Comedy Central wanted a meeting in, like, September. We sit in the meeting, and it's like Gary and Jonas and all the dudes, and fucking the Duffys talk for like 2 minutes. And then I was like, I got this. I just felt so comfortable in the room because I was like, this is the network I want to be at. We were already getting offers for other networks, but that was the one I wanted. Them or HBO. But really Comedy Central, because that's where the comedy lives. HBO
show interest?
And HBO never really was into it. But also, it was just, I think they weren't trying to do stand-up related stuff. So, but Comedy Central has always been my number one. Like, that was the one I want. It's the only comedy network. And I want to fucking be in that family. I want to be able to hang out with the South Park guys and fucking go to the party. You know what I mean? That's what I want. And we went in that room. They talked. The Duffys talked for a few minutes. And then I was like, I got this. And then I just sold that show in the room. They bought it like literally 2 days later. They were like, we want to do a special, an arable special. So like an hour, which will be a backdoor into a series. That was November when we found out. You know, and then you fucking, it's like all that time of pre-production. I mean, so they bought it. The deal was signed the beginning of January, and we didn't fucking actually shoot it until June 21st.
Yeah, it takes time, man.
I wanted that money, dude. No,
it takes fucking time.
I was like, I got to buy a new mattress, dude. Like, tell me what kind I can get. Like, is this going to happen? Is it isn't? And it just, what's been good is that the network is behind it. They made some changes to it that I understand they did for the special. Like, it's not exactly what we do with the live show. It's not as wild. My part got severely reduced for that, but when it goes to series, like, there's a lot more that we're going to do, and then we're going to bring it back to what the show actually is. Do you know what I mean?
Right. So the special was released a couple of weeks ago.
It was released August 28th. It was the day before you did the show.
And so how'd it go?
It went great. I mean, it was on after the VMAs, and the VMAs ran long, so a lot of the numbers kind of got messed up. But for 12 a.m. at night, we got good numbers. And like, social media wise, it was incredible. And what's the other shit? Social media, like, it got a shitload of views.
Digital shit got a lot of views.
So it's done really well. But now we're just waiting. We're waiting to find out if we get a series. But I mean, every arrow is pointing to yes. I don't see why they wouldn't give it a season. You know what I mean? Because there's six episodes. Dude, I'm getting, no, we'll get like 10.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, the deal is for six, but I could see it go. I could see them buying. It's cheaper to make more. You know what I mean? Than just six. If you're gonna do six, you might as well make 10. It's only gonna be like a couple, like $100,000 more.
If you're gonna do six, more make nine, so I could do three a night.
Oh, there's no way I could shoot that, dude. I'm knowing that we might have to do two in one night. That'll fucking kill me. I'm gonna be on prednisone and fucking anti-inflammatory.
They'll give you 1 week on that, like something fucking like. I just did a friend of mine's show, and he was like, "We shot 9 episodes in 1 week."
Was that Ari?
No, this is for Animal Planet.
Oh, okay.
9 fucking episodes in 1 week. Guests, everything. Animals.
Like, that would kill me.
Like, start on fucking Monday and wrap on Sunday with a party.
That would kill me. Even doing the one, like, because I had vocal cord surgery February. I had a nodule taken off my vocal cords because my cords were just fucked up, man. I'm 36. You get to an age, your shit just starts giving out. And then I vaped like a dumb fuck. You know what I mean?
You smoke?
Not anymore, but I did.
Cigarettes?
I did for years. I used to smoke weed, smoke cigarettes, and then I quit that. I started vaping, and the vaping fucked my vocal cords.
You can hear it in my throat. Every time I vape, I think it's worse than fucking
it's definitely for people that talk all the time. Yes, if you use your voice, that's the worst shit you can do. And I mean, I vaped for 4 years, and then the second I quit, they got better. Like, they were inflamed. I'd go to the doctor, he'd scope my throat, stick the thing down, look at it, and he'd be like, "Dude, what the fuck are you doing?" And I'm just like, "Nothing. I'm just vaping." He's like, "You got it." stop doing this shit. I'm like, dude, I can't, man. I love the taste of Fruit Loop cereal milk in my lungs, man. Like, what the fuck do you want from me?
That's terrible. That'll kill you.
You know what I mean? It's like, that was, so I vaped for a long time and then I quit. And so when we got to do this special, I was still vaping, but I just took like, you know, prednisone is like a miracle drug for singers, man. Like prednisone, Decadron. So I went that morning, I got a shot from the ENT, took a couple prednisone. And then
where they put the shot for you? For your
in the ass. Cord. They give it ass or shoulder.
For your vocal cords? For
my vocal cords. Well, it's a steroid. So it's like this, right? Like, so what really happened was, so I did, when we did JFL in 2015, right? Like, I was DJing at a strip club. So every Thursday, every Friday, I'm on the mic, fucking, you know, 8-hour shifts. We start getting closer and closer to the shows in Montreal, and I know how big a deal this is. So what I started doing was taking like care of myself, where I wouldn't go out at night. Like, I would do show and I'd go home, and then I was like, you know, I got to start resting my voice, or I got to start taking like you know, supplements, like little mints, not mints, but these like little drops for your throat. And I went to the doctor, and then out of nowhere, I just lost my voice. I lost my voice like a week before we took off, and it would not come back. I went and got shots for it. It would not come back. So I go to the doctor. He goes, listen, you know, he's like, you got a nodule on your vocal cords, but that's not the reason. It's super inflamed right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a bunch of these medications, give you prednisone, and I'm going to give you a couple shots before you leave. And he goes, and that'll basically we're just going to put a Band-Aid on your cords and we'll deal with the problem when you come back. So it's like Emmitt Smith, like, you know, fracturing his shoulder, or like blowing his knee out and like in the playoffs. And they're like, dude, you know, you got to win this game. So here's a cortisone shot. Here's some Percocet. Go out there and win the game. And that's what I did. But by doing that, I made my cords way worse. So it was like when I came back to the States, it was like a full – that was July. My cords didn't get better until March, April. Actually, April is when I started singing again and it sounded good. April of 2016. So that was tough, man.
Who shot the pilot? What stars shot the pilot?
Well, who was on it?
Yeah. I saw a picture of you with Eddie Vedder, so I thought Eddie Vedder was
on it. Oh, no. That was in Bonnaroo. That was the music festival, Bonnaroo. We had Pete Davidson from Saturday Night Live, Jay Farrell from Saturday Night Live, Jim Jeffries, Natasha Leggero, and Adam Devine.
Oh, I thought you had like a fucking Led Zeppelin in the studio.
Dude, here's what's cool.
That's what I thought.
Dude, I'm telling you, like, so the special airs. And I'm getting calls from like huge comics, right? From not just comics, but comedic actors, like people that want to do this. They're like, dude, I want to do this song with this singer. Like, and like, I'm friends with this guy. We can make this happen. We got people that want to do shit with Metallica. Like, it could, what's cool. It's like, this is the thing. It's like, why wouldn't you give me a season of it? Because like, there's so much cool shit that we do. We had Coolio on the first fucking thing. I mean, we can do way better than Coolio. You know what I mean? Like, we can get fucking, you know, we'll reunite fucking the band Heart and get fucking Wilson Phillips. Like, it's just going to grow and grow. And that's what's happening in L.A. Organically, we're getting real rock stars that want to do it. Now that we moved it to the Roxy, like, that immediately validates it, where everybody's like, well, this is a place. If they're doing it at the Roxy, then it's got to be legit. You know what I mean? Like, the month before, we had some guys from Velvet Revolver there. We had John Theodore from Queens of the Stone Age. We had Dave Kushner. Then we had John Mayer's just chilling. John Mayer just came to the show just to hang out, but when he's seeing you perform. And now he wants to do it. Like, organically, it's just going to grow and turn into something really fucking cool.
Music. Now, one big question I got to ask.
Sure.
For TV purposes, are there just a number of songs you could do?
No, we can get whatever you want. That's the cool thing, man. Yeah, dude. It's like they spent a lot of money on that special.
Yeah.
And it's not even the... Like, we ended it with We Are the Champions, and that's, like, cheap. Like, certain songs that you would think would be expensive are actually cheap. I mean, there's, like, from what I know, like, Led Zeppelin's kind of off the table, Beatles are off the table, and Michael Jackson. But if somebody big enough wanted to do it, they'd pay. You know what I mean? You know, if we can get, you know, because that's the thing. It's, like, I think when it goes to series, like, we're going to get some really, really big names. You know what I mean? And I'm glad it's on Comedy Central and not CW, because CW would have fucked it up.
Yeah, they would have put Buffy the Vampire.
Yeah, it would have been like, all right, y'all, coming up next, Condoleezza Rice singing No Diggity. Like, you know, who the fuck wants that shit?
Yeah, no.
You know, it's we can get real comics. I mean, we'll get Burr, we'll get Sarah Silverman. I mean, we had Louis C.K. come and sit down and do the show. I'm trying to get your boy Joe. Joe's scared shitless. You need to tell that motherfucker to do it. I want him to do it. He'd be the best at it. do another goddamn Rage Against the Machine song. It's just scream it. You know what I mean? That's all you did. You fucking, but you did sing a little bit. You had a little melody.
I couldn't think of another song. There was one other song you and I discussed.
No, it was always from the jump, because I said, I want you to do the show. You go killing in the name of, like, immediately you said that. And I was like, yeah, that's it. That was why when I got you to finally commit to doing this one, I immediately just said, you want to still do killing in the name of? And you're like, yeah, fuck, that was it. Usually like I'll call people and I'll be like, what are you thinking about? Like I know what will work. People will give me a song that I'm like, why would you pick this? You know, and even like the huge comics, they'll give me a song that's so random. And I'm like, dude, nobody's going to know this. Like, no, it's got to be a hit. Can't be a B-side. Can't be a deep album cut. And most people are super cool now that they realize that I know what will work. You know what I mean? I knew immediately. You would have been the first person to do Killing in the Name of, because we waited so long. I had John Doerr do it because he had picked it. And I mean, but nobody did it the way you did it.
I mean, you know what the next song I like to do? Girls Just Want to Have Fun. That's my jam. Every time I hear the end of that, I could tell she's having such a great time. I don't know what the fuck she's saying at the end of that song, but I still remember coming from Colorado to New York, and the girl I had a crush on liked that song, and it was like killing me. Like, really, girls just want to have fun? What the fuck are you talking about? Then I saw the video, but I liked the song. Like, every time I hear that song, I think of that summer.
It's such a good song. It's such a good song.
First of all, unless you've seen her, she's really good in concert.
Cyndi Lauper?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I've heard it 30,000, and they say she's fucking hysterical.
They all got chops, man. I saw Billy Joel not too long ago, and that motherfucker had like a half hour of solid material. Like, solid. And then I saw him like two nights later. He did the same bits, and they killed, dude. So rock stars, they all got jokes, man.
All in between.
They all got jokes.
All in between the jams and shit.
Everybody. I was reading a thing on in Rolling Stone magazine. Is Adele, you know, the big, like, you know, soul singer from Britain right now. Yeah. So she does an hour and a half show, right? She sings for 40 minutes and then talks for 30. You know what I mean? That's her show. They broke it down to see, like, who talks the most, think in between. She's got 30 minutes of material, too. It's literally all they do.
Are they trying to make you laugh, or is it like stories about the songs, or
a little bit of both? I think it's like they want it to be funny. You know what I mean? Like, dude, comedians and rock stars. It's just there's a weird thing about it. Like, if you've ever hung out with like a rock star, right? Somebody that made it. They don't have to be a rock star, but just somebody that's professional musician. Whatever year or however old they were when they made it is what maturity level they'll stuck at. Does that make sense? You know, Tommy Lee, the guys from, like, they're stuck at that age. They're stuck at, like, 17, 18 years old. They might have millions of dollars, but they're still fucking...
Fucking Tommy Lee, every time I've seen him, it's like he's 18.
Yeah, he's, like, super immature. He's like, yeah, bro, nah, cool. You know, it's like, dude, you're fucking 53 now, dude. You know what I mean? There's something about it. And I've met a lot of rock stars recently where I start hanging out with them. I'm like, dude, you're fucking immature. I mean, they're mature, but they're still... They just have that, like, I don't know how to explain it. Just their whole air about them is that they're still kids because they never had to grow up. You know what I mean? I'd be that way, too. I did music my whole life. If I would have made it in one of my bands, I'd be stuck at, like, 23, and I just live that 23-year-old lifestyle in my head, but still just pay my bills and do the shit that adults do, but still talk like a 23-year-old. Just, you know what I mean? Dress like it. Dude, Tommy Lee still dresses like a motherfucker that's 18 years old. He's just on 2016's level of 18 now, so the clothes are a little bit... You know, updated. He's not wearing, you can't really wear spandex, you know, like cheetah spandex anymore and still fucking be cool.
You know, like when Kennison was at the store, they were doing that kind of stuff. They sang Wild Thing with Rudy Sarzo and a bunch of other people. And it's so weird. That connection wasn't as much as, that connection was more cocaine.
If you watch
those fucking videos with Poison and Kennison, and they'll tell you how fucked up they were and stuff like that. But I've always, you know, I've met I don't even know, but it's so weird how they'll talk to you. I was on a plane with fucking Sebastian and John Legend. We were all going to Atlanta.
Sebastian Bach or Sebastian the comedian?
Sebastian Maniscalco was sitting next to me, and John Legend was sitting next to me on this side. So it was John Legend, me, and then there was an aisle, and then it was Sebastian. I'm sitting there, and John Legend tips his head on me and he goes, hey, I saw your special. I really like it. And he is this guy talking to Sebastian, John mm-hmm. Legend, about his special and how he watched it. And he watched it three times and blah, blah, blah. And it's so weird how I think sometimes it's a mutual admiration.
Oh, for sure,
it's a definite mutual admiration because they know how hard it is to get up on that.
We know how hard it is to do what they're doing.
We know what
Dude, stand-up comics are rock stars, man. That is to shred like Slash is one of the most, you know, difficult things you can do. You can learn how to play guitar, but to be able to have the feel and really just lay it out there in the music that you're playing, I mean, that's incredible. And what we're doing is honestly just as hard, if not harder, to go into a room full of strangers, come up with something to say, and that's original, and fucking make people laugh, you know? So it just blends seamlessly together. And that's why this show works. I think it's because you're taking something and you're just taking both those worlds and putting them together. And then also the main thing is both things we're doing are super fun. Other people want to do it. Everybody wants to do what we're doing. Everybody always thinks they could be a stand-up comic or they could, I got to be in a band. You know what I mean? Or I'm still in a band. It's like, yeah, it's just me and the other dads in the neighborhood, but we're killing it in our garage. First you know what off, I mean?
That night, I realized why lip syncing is fucking so relevant in comedy.
What
I
do you mean?
That night. You know, if you know about like all those singers that move a lot, like Janet Jackson, the beginning of her tour, she lip syncs 10%.
Oh, yeah.
She lip syncs 90%.
Why? Because you could.
Cardio and anxiety and all that shit.
I've never seen anybody sweat as much as you did during that song.
Oh, my God.
Dude, you were drenched.
I was an anxiety attack. It just came. I was like a skunk. And a little bit of sweat came out from every fucking orifice. And as soon as I went up there, I felt it. I knew it was going to happen. But I got to tell you something. And I'll tell you to your face. I think I told you the day afterward. I haven't had that much fun on stage.
Thank you.
A long fucking time.
You fucking killed, dude. You killed
the show. I haven't had that much fun in a long goddamn time. Like that, I left there and my mind was kind of blown. Like I had to go home and take 2 hits off the pipe and go, "What just fucking happened, Jack? What just fucking happened?" That, you know. That was too much.
And it was so well documented, too, dude. So many people recorded that. So you get to just relive it over and over. Well, oh, I've watched it like 17 times.
No, I watched like half of it and shut it off. I don't even get to the fuck you, I won't do it.
Yeah, the best part's at the end.
Because I can
tell. The best part, because he gets at least like 6 inches off the ground when he jumps. And he fucking like.
My favorite part is the middle finger. At the end, it gets like that. And here's my question.
Yeah.
Because I always hear a lot from comics, like, if you hear about a comic who maybe has like, the whole set is like jokey songs.
Mm-hmm.
It gets a little bit looked down upon, but everyone loves this show. Like, where do you think the difference is? Because it's a little similar, but like this, like everyone, this show is amazing. It was the first time I'd been to it, and it was a great.
Like,
experience.
I'll go next time as a fan,
please. Oh, you're always invited. Like, I'll go next time now.
As a fan because I want to see now,
dude. You're in the goddamn Comedy Jam Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I
want to
see what a.
I know what you're saying, Lee, about the, you know, because like when you go see like comedy music or musicians that are comics that do music in that sense, like the songs are usually cheesy as fuck. You know what I mean? It's right. Usually like if a girl's doing it, it's always like, you know, this is the song about my boyfriend or giving blowjobs. And it's like, don't forget about the balls. Don't forget about the balls when you're giving a hand job. Actually, which is. Right. Actually, pretty melodic what I just sang. So we write that down.
That shit drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to be fucking, what's his name? Sign up. What's the guy that spoofs all the song?
Weird Al Yankovic.
Can you believe people still buy his music?
I think a lot of people still fuck with him because of the movie UHF. You know what I mean? You ever seen UHF?
Long time ago.
The movie's great. I still quote it. You know what I mean? So. I don't think he's getting new fans. I think he's just got the people from a long time ago that still fuck with him.
I think he's getting new fans. Man.
I don't think so, man.
When was
I might be wrong.
Yeah, when was the last time he released them out?
He just came out with one.
That's
he just
what
came
I'm
out.
Saying. This
but
is
that's,
what,
but that's, I think it's the people.
For the fucking 10 fans that are left?
Actually, when I was in Montreal in 2015, he did a free concert outside and it was fucking bananas packed. Just packed.
Packed.
So comics that do music. Is like, there's not many that have, like, there's Tenacious D that are taken seriously that are cool because their whole act is this, like, their songs aren't funny. They're actually really good songs. You know right. what I mean? Like, me and the band, like, we have a bunch of originals too that are super funny, but they're like, they're real rock songs and they're super catchy. And we don't try to make people laugh throughout the song through the lyrics. We just from what we do in it. It's just we take it so seriously, but it's like completely a farce. Whereas, I think the show is successful is because of what Joey just said. He hasn't had that much fun in God knows how long. Because if you're having fun, then the audience is having fun. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I have fun. We created is just, it's an event. It's like a, it's just like a feeling. You know what I mean? You come to the show. Every show is like that. I mean, it's just, we don't take it too seriously. It's literally just supposed to be a bunch of people going to laugh for a little bit. You're going to rock out for a little bit.
And it was all ages.
Oh, it's every dude. That was
all the people there. There was younger people there. I thought it was going to be a bunch of Uber people, you know, like young kid, 23-year-old. Boy, was I in shock.
Dude, it's huge. And that was like, because we were going up against, there was another festival going on. And that was the first one we hadn't completely sold out. Like, it was close to it. But like, usually we have like, somebody said, one of the bookers for the New York Comedy Festival said, my show has the highest fake tit to regular tit ratio. We have the most girls with fake boobs at our show. Which is a good thing to have. I think it's, I like that. You know what I mean? Out of every show, they don't get that at comedy.
Now, you're getting like 700 people in New York and places like that?
In New York, we Gramercy, we sold out. That was like 750. In L.A., we're getting about 400 now, moving into the Roxy, which is great. We've got, you know, it just depends on the festival and the venue. But we every show on the road, we're doing extremely well with. You know what I mean?
I love it. I got to be honest with you about one thing.
What's that?
And don't get offended.
Please.
I like what you did. I don't like when people fucking sing funny fucking songs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you think I get picky about food, fuck with me about music, Jack. Fuck with my world of music, because I'm even picky. I get pissed.
What do you mean? Like,
I'm way older than you. When I was a kid, there was Jaws, and there was something else. There were spoof songs. So what you did was you took the best of the summer songs and you wrote a story about it. So did you see the shark? What did you tell him? Please, mister, please. And then, oh my God, he's coming into the kitchen. And then we'd do it. Look at the Jaws, the spoof song from the 70s. See if it's on there.
Jaws spoof song?
Yeah, from the 70s. Like, they did shit like that. That was cute for a while. They did them to everybody, burnt the fuck out.
Dickie Goodwin?
Yeah, Dickie Goodman, Mr. Jaws.
Yeah, let's see.
Let's hear this. Is this it?
I think.
We are here on the beach where a giant shark has just eaten a girl swimmer. Well, Mr. Jaws, how was it?
Oh, my!
And what did she say when you grabbed her?
Please, Mr. Please. Okay.
I know sharks are stupid, but what did you think when you took that first bite?
How sweet it is.
Mr. Jaws, before you swim out to sea, have you anything else to say?
I can't win. I can't win. That guy was 10. They were cute.
Now is the local sheriff. Sheriff Brody, the shark will be back for lunch. What do you intend to do?
Get down tonight.
Just arriving is oceanographer Matt Hooper. Sir, if someone is attacked by a shark, what should they do? We are going aboard the fishing boat of Captain Quint. Captain,
was this popular?
Able to catch this giant
fucking
shark?
Huge.
Number one hit, actually. Took the Beatles off number one.
Was that it?
It keeps going.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, get to the chorus.
Wait, it's over. Hold on.
Quint is shouting something at him. Get your baby one of these nights. Jaws, the captain says he's going to catch you. What do you think of that? Uh-oh, here he comes again.
I can't believe people bought this.
They've hit him. Mr. Jaws, why doesn't anything seem to hurt
this
you?
Wasn't, this is like...
Hold on, hear the song.
He's coming right onto the boat. Mr. Jaws, why are you grabbing my hand?
Wouldn't you give your hand to my friend?
No, wait, Mr. Jaws... That's not the way this record is supposed to end. Help! Help!
So they had a sample of that music. You got the Eagles, 10cc. You got everybody on there. This guy stole more than rappers. He's got everybody on there.
he's the comedy.
They made
Puff a couple. Daddy.
They made like three of these, and then they went kaput. And then
were you just like on their Wikipedia page not too long ago?
No. I just was thinking about it now. We're thinking about comedy music about a year, 2-3 years ago, Eddie Bravo and Rogan after a comedy show said, let's go see Steel Dragon. I left after the second show. No disrespect to them. They're nice guys. They invited us. I met them. I can't tolerate that shit.
Well, I think that's
the shit that drives
this isn't, but it's not.
No.
This isn't like supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be like if you want to make it funny, you can, and the crowd will love it regardless. But it's like when you do that, what's cool about it is like they never get to see. They get to see an honest side of you.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Because you can't hide it behind your jokes. You got to fucking perform that. So when somebody goes up there and they do it, man, you know, the crowd gets to see you in a vulnerable position. And that's what's a beautiful thing. You know what I mean? It takes Joey Diaz from Uncle Joey and makes him just fucking Joey Diaz. You know what I mean?
The most important thing about that bong hit was I did it lefty. That's the first time in my life I've ever done a bong hit lefty, and it worked. First time. No fucking practice. You understand me? It's good I shot all that basketball as a youngster. You mentioned your boy. I knew you guys were tight. Did you start together in Baltimore?
Who?
Sickler. That's Sickler? Fucking crazy. Fuck.
No, Ryan I met out here. I met Ryan at the Improv one night. One of my first real shows, like doing a real set of the Improv. Remember Daryl Wright?
Black dude. Where is he?
I have no idea, man.
I heard he was in Vegas. He's doing a NASCAR show with Jay Moore. And then I see Jay Moore on TV doing the Rams.
I have no idea. Daryl just disappeared. Daryl was like the second coming in the Improv. He was up there like every night. And then he just disappeared. But he used to do a show called Ignorance is Bliss. Did you ever do it?
Right. Yeah.
He did that at the Improv. Ryan goes up, does a set. And I remember he mentions he's from Maryland, and I'm like, holy shit. So after the set, I just go up, I start talking to him, and immediately we hit it off. And he's kind of like my Yoda, you know what I mean? Like, I'll call him when I need advice or I need an opinion about something in comedy related. And what's funny is I tease him about this. Like, anytime you ask for his opinion, like, yeah, this dude, he's like telling me to do this, and I don't want to do this, or my agent.
Move away a little bit, because every time you go up and down, it's hitting.
Yeah.
And it's vibrating there.
So there he'll... I'll be like, yeah, my agent wants me to do this thing. I don't know if I want to do it. And every response that Ryan gives me is, you know what you got to tell that dude? You tell that dude to go fuck himself. You tell him, go fuck himself. Every advice always ends with, nah, man, tell that person to go fuck himself. Like, that is all the only advice he's good for. And most of the time he's right. I'm not going to lie. But he's good. He's got a kid now. And I talk to him almost every day.
He was at the show.
He's a producer on the Comedy Jam television show because he brought it. And he's the story producer. So he works with the comics to kind of like tighten everything. And he's great. He's the best, man. You know what I mean? I think you know what it is. You meet somebody that's from the same area you grew up, you're going to fucking stick together. And the minute we met, I was like, oh, we're going to be friends.
Little Tony Bennett, it's Monday, September 19th, a beautiful fucking week.
I want to be around to
pick. What, are you going to sing this next?
I'd like to.
When somebody breaks,
you can't do this. They don't see the beauty of this.
No, they wouldn't. The crowd would stare at you.
Yeah, somebody with a suit. Are you kidding me or what? Pointy shoes.
My favorite Tony Bennett song is "I Left My Heart in San Francisco."
Oh fuck! I love the first verse. It always makes me cry.
It's one of those. Actually, you talk about "Cry" from Tony Bennett. Is he did "Smile"? You know that song?
Yeah.
You know, smile if your heart is breaking. Oh, dude.
Kick this motherfucker, Lee. We didn't finish. It's Monday. What are you turning it off for? You need a bong hit, Lee? You need to get sweating again? You haven't stopped fucking fidgeting.
I'll never stop sweating.
Fidgeting, touching the water. I couldn't believe it before.
I mean, I want to be around.
There you go.
To see how he does it. When he breaks your heart to bits, let's see.
It's beautiful.
It really is beautiful.
Fits. This is what I grew up listening to.
So fine.
This piano is fucking smoking.
That's where. Kick it, Lee.
That revenge is sweet. As I sit there applauding from a front row seat. When when somebody breaks your heart like you.
Fucking beautiful. Fucking beautiful. Monday, September 19th, Tony Bennett taking your asshole to the hoop, cocksuckers. Lee didn't grow up a music guy. It's really weird. Like,
what did you grow up listening to? You know, anything?
It's kind of random. Like, my parents, my mom liked just like show tunes and like oldies, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And what she grew up with, and my dad was like sort of disco-y. He worked in nightclubs, so okay. He liked a lot of disco. And so I just never really got into anything. And like all my friends in like middle school started getting into like the Beatles and Dave Matthews.
How old are you?
I'm 28. I know I don't have hair, but I'm only 28.
I was gonna say, you were like, all my friends started getting into Beatles. I was like, how fucking old is this dude?
No, I'm not that old, but I don't know. I just never. I went to like my first
no concert. Radio in
no,
your room.
No, I had one, but I never really used it. It was weird. I
have a friend like that. That it's so weird when you go to his house. For years, I always noticed there was something missing. I went to somebody's house.
He never had a boombox. Never had like a.
I asked him once. I go, "You don't have music in here?" He goes, "I have music in my office."
You know, it's weird. I use it for sports radio. That's what I used it mostly for.
Dude, music and comedy have been. In my life, I can pinpoint points in my life through songs and through comedy specials.
Well, we all
specials.
Have a personal soundtrack.
Yeah, but not just that, but I mean, I can remember the first time I saw Carlin on Comic Relief. Like, I was 6 years old.
What was your first comic that you saw?
Was George Carlin. That was okay. When I wanted, him and Gary Shandling. Because the first real introduction to stand-up comedy was my dad was watching Comic Relief on HBO, you know? And that was the... That was where Carlin did My Stuff is Stuff, Your Stuff is Shit. And I was like, that's so cool, man. Like, I want to do that. But I was like, get into it. You got to be a little older, blah, blah, blah. But I grew up in a musical household. So that was what I was doing from like 3 on. I always had instruments in front of me. So I remember that.
Who played instruments in your home?
My dad. Not so much my mom, but my dad really. And then once I got into like elementary school, that was kind of like my interest. So they got me into trumpet. And then my dad got me a guitar. Piano, drums, and then when I got into my like teens, that was when I started like go out of the house, start smoking weed. I formed a band.
What were they listening to those years?
Dude, you play the Tony Bennett shit like you don't understand, man. Like I'm one of the luckiest people in the world. My father introduced me to everything dope at an early age. You know what I mean?
How old?
I mean, 6 years old was when I got in. First of all, he had like the Richard Pryor records, so I used to like steal them and put them on. I was always grew up around jazz, like Joe Pass on guitar, or like Miles Davis, Charlie Parker, Coltrane, Thelonious Monk. It was Bill Evans, Dave Brubeck. I mean, Frank Sinatra. I mean, Mel Torme, whatever, dude. It was just constant music playing in my house. The Four Freshmen. Just my dad listened to everything. But also, like, movies. I remember, like, at 8 years old watching, like, Rebel Without a Cause or, like, Mel Brooks, like, History of the World Part 1 when I was, like, before I was 10. You know? So I was introduced to so much cool shit. My mom was more... Like more of the Beatles and more of the rock stuff. But, you know, my dad was cool. And then he had me, and then I took all the cool from him. You know what I mean?
What was the rock stuff your mom listened to?
More like, Mamas and Papas, Jefferson Airplane, shit like that.
They smoked pot, your parents?
No.
Never caught them, or you just don't want to know?
All right, so.
Slow those mics, both of them, before you blow out all our fucking earphones here.
My dad. I don't know if you ever smoked grass. My mom always used to talk about, she'd be like, when I was younger. She's got that like cigarette smoking mom voice. Like, when I was younger, I smoked hashish with this Israeli rock store. And that's kind of the last time I did it. I actually got high with my mom back in 2003 or 2004. She had a bad back. We went to the Jersey Shore. She's like, the Vicodin's not working. And I was like smoking blunts. I was dating this girl. She taught me how to roll blunts. And that was when I really got into like smoking blunts by myself. And my mom, it was in the hotel room. My dad and my sister left. And I was like, Ma, I mentioned you're in pain. I was like, if I said I had weed, would you smoke with me? And she's like, I'll try anything. And then me and her smoked a blunt together. And it was an experience. We just sat there and giggled. But she's never smoked it again. And, super, super square, man. My parents were very, I was kind of like their first dose into a lot of real life shit.
How many brothers and sisters?
I got a sister, perfect kid, never got in trouble. She's a doctor, lives in the Eastern Shore now in Maryland. Her husband's like the district attorney for the county they live in. Super white, man. Super just boring. You're tight
with her?
Do I talk? Am I tight with her? Yeah, I mean, you know, she's got a bunch of kids. Like I call her all the time, but like when I say all the time, it's like once a month, and we talk for a little bit, and I go and visit when I can. But she's come out and supported me for a lot of things in my life. You know what I mean? She came out for, we did the Kennedy Center. We did the goddamn comedy jam at the Kennedy Center. She came out for that. We played the show at the Black Cat in DC, you know, probably like 6 months early. She's come out for that. She wanted to come out for the TV taping, but she was just tied up with the kids, so she couldn't. But she's great, man, you know? Just always supported me. I think it's kind of like, I always looked up to her because she was like book smart. Not saying I'm not book smart, but definitely I appreciate anybody that can fucking take their, you know, their MCATs and fucking ace it, you know, and study, you know, like organic chemistry and shit like that. So I respect her, but she also respects me that I'm more street smart and also able to do what I can do. You know what I mean? It's the same thing. Like, it's just, I wish I had what she had. She wishes I had, she has what I had. And it just, it's kind of a cool blend. So.
You're a fortunate young man. Everything, when we first got here, we were talking about drugs, and I said to you that when I got the nose surgery, and she said she was going to give me something, when I got to the fucking pharmacy, they pulled me over, and they're like, listen, she gave you something really fucking strong. Now, right at that point, I'm excited. You know what I'm saying? When they pull you over, like, to say, listen, what we're giving you is really fucking strong.
This is some good shit. Right, like, now, I'm like, get okay. A lockbox.
I'm like, okay, so I'm getting excited for the surgery now. Even with my addictive ways, I didn't take one of them before the surgery. You know, they want you to have them a week before the surgery.
Yeah.
I don't need them. Because I heard oxys are really addicting. I had done an Oxycontin maybe 2007. Right when I was at the end of blow that year, when mm-hmm. I was doing heroin on Mondays to snort to come down off the coke. Somebody gave me a piece of a red pill. They said it was an oxy, and I popped it. And within fucking 10 minutes, I had to lay down. My world was rocked. I was, my blood pressure dropped. I felt like puking. And then when I got the surgery, I go, you know, Oxycontins, but the lady told me they're pretty fucking deep. Let's try them. You know, I'm home. I got the week is clear.
Sure.
And I fucking did the prescribed dose the first day, one every 4 hours, because I'm scared too. I don't want a Michael Jackson. I got the baby.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do shit.
Didn't fuck you up at all?
No, 25 milligrams.
Then Jesus the next day, Christ. That a level. That's.
Then the next day, I popped three at one time. And by the end of the night,
I don't want a Michael Jackson in, so I'm just going to take four of them.
But what I did was, by the end of the night, I called a friend, and he goes, no, I know you a long time. Nicotine?
Yeah, Nick,
let me get some. Yeah, this is good shit.
This a 4 milligram.
Oh, this with a cup of. I usually pop 2 4s. Listen, though, you pop 2 4s with a cup of coffee, Cuban coffee in the morning. Ooh, Nelly.
I saw you eyeballing it right off the jump. I was
what's
like,
that?
I saw the nicotine gum when I first pulled it out.
I was like, what's he doing? Because me, you, and Mark Maron are hooked on nicotine. Mark Maron eats them all fucking day. All of us, our kidneys are going to blow up. No wonder my back hurts and shit. I've been chewing nicotine gum for fucking 6 months now and shit.
Oh, I
started at 1 4, now I'm popping 2 at a time. 2 4s with a cup of coffee, you're off and running, Jack. They ain't stopping me. I've been telling people for years they don't want to listen to me.
Dude,
all these
legit.
Fucking half a fast.
I'm all bad nicotine God. Gum. I quit vaping and immediately just I'm addicted to the nicotine gum.
You go to, and you go to CVS?
I go to Costco, dude. 50 piece. No, you get $50 for 200 pieces. Oh. If you're not buying nicotine gum at fucking Costco, you ain't doing it right.
No.
CVS just changes the world right now.
CVS got that Mexican fucking nicotine gum.
No, dude. If it doesn't say Nicorette on it.
Listen to me.
No, if it doesn't say four. Don't. I got fucking.
My buddies gave me some Mexican Nicorette. You have no fucking. You pop 2 of those. And a 16-ounce, what do they call it? What's the second coffee at Starbucks?
Venti?
The Venti. Go in there and get a Venti and pop 2 of those and get back to me in an hour.
Wow, that'll move your mouth.
Ooh,
You want to get regular?
Oh, my God.
Dude, I look forward to it in the morning. Like, I'll have my cup of coffee, and I won't have my first piece. I start moving my bowels, moving like, all right, time to pop first. Yeah, I get on the toilet.
You can't shit. You pop a cup of coffee, a 16-ounce, with some reefer, and then follow it with two pieces.
What does nicotine make you shit? Oh, my God.
Because your system gets on fire.
It's just, it's like, I don't know what it does, but it just moves me, man. Dude, my favorite thing I take, before I even came here, because I'm like, we're not on tour right now, and so I have like this chill time, and it's like I work out in the morning, and then I eat, and then I have time to chill, and if I don't have any work to do, I'll take like a bath for like an hour and a half and write a little bit or just meditate or whatever. There's nothing better. I get in the bath water, pop a fresh piece of Nicorette in. Oh, my God. And the worst part is you start finding these little wrappers all around.
Oh, I got them everywhere. I cut myself 18 times. I want to sue Nicorette. Those fucking little, those are real ninja stars right there, those little sharp fucking edges. These motherfuckers don't know. Guys, if you're confused in the morning, you don't know what, fuck your ADD pills. They don't even work. They're for fucking retards. Listen to me. You get a 16-ounce, let's say the thing calls for fucking, let's say you want to make coffee at the house. If it calls for 8 ounces, you put 3 of those in there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a fuck what the jar says. I want my coffee to be blacker than black. I want to get up and go, Jack. So you get up, you hit that fucking coffee first, and let it balance out your body. Then you go outside and hit that fucking joint. You hit that zebra early, and then you finish the coffee, and then pop 2 Nicorettes. It's over.
Even if you don't smoke cigarettes, it's just...
Oh, if you don't smoke cigarettes, you're over.
Yeah, it'll... Dude, you'll get like...
And when you throw a fucking star on this, like a THC star with 2 Nicorettes...
What's a star? What's that?
The stars at that, 200 milligrams of pure THC.
Oh, my God. We like 2 of those vicious.
With some Nicorette. Bro,
yeah.
Sometimes at night I'm tuned up on the stars. I'll pop 2 of those Nicorettes. It's all over. And I'll spit it out and pop 2 more to get the fresh nicotine juice. You know me, dog. I take it to the next fucking limit.
It's the greatest thing ever. Just to see your face light up. You're like, no, come on. Don't hold out. Dude, I just stocked up. I just went to the Costco.
Oh, I don't leave the house. I got them on my travel bag for the plane, on the plane.
Oh, it's the best on the
plane. You pop those on a plane with a little vape pen in the bathroom without setting the alarm off.
Can you get away with hitting the vape pen? Because here's the deal. So we were traveling a lot, and I had the e-cigarette vape, right? And I go, and I had to actually take a shit, too. So I go, and I start taking a shit on it, which is like the first time I've ever done that, take a shit on an airplane. And I'm hitting the vape pen. Next thing I know, it's like, Mr. Whoever is in there, you know, the fire alarm's going off as he just keeps knocking. And then I put the vape away and I'm starting to freak out. They opened the door. Luckily, you know, I had my dick and my balls out and I'm sitting on the toilet with my pants down taking a shit. So she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. And she closes the door. But in my head, I'm like, fuck, I'm going to get out of here. They're going to fucking put me in handcuffs or they're going to, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how this works. No,
if they don't see the smoke, they can't do nothing to you.
Really?
They just eyeball you to death. They caught me too.
But so when I got out, she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. She goes, oh, we must have a faulty thing in there because, yeah, it said there was a smoke alarm was going off. And I was like, nah, I have no idea. And I mean, I've never been scared or because that's like a, you know, don't you go to jail for that shit?
No, it's like a fine, $2,000. They slap your wrist.
I like how you said
they knock it down to $200 in court. You go in there and do paperwork that you fucking suck dick for a living. You get $10 a week eating fucking Cheerios like a motherfucker. What you need to do if you want to vape on a pen is you have to take the window out. Because that's where the air conditioning is.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And you have to hit it and cover it with a sweater and make believe you're Copernicus. Like you put your hand here and just hit it and blow down. They'll suck it right down.
Oh, I've done that a million
times. Nobody smokes. Oh. It's tough to smoke in the aisle seat. That's a tough one.
Yeah, you got
to
have the window seat.
Got to have the window seat. Listen, the window seat, you can hit that vape all fucking all 4 hours. By the time you land, you fucking don't even want to get off. Listen, let's just go back.
Have you ever been on the planes where it looks like there's mist coming out of it, where it's just like a super misty, like right by the window? Oh, that's the best. We were flying to Bonnaroo, and I was hit. I wasn't even hiding it. I was just because I had nobody in that row, and I was just hitting the vape, and it would just like blow a cloud under the seat.
I love it.
Oh, it's the best, man.
People are retarded, but last time I did it, one of the times I was smoking on the plane, a young girl kept saying, "Mommy, there's smoke." And she kept saying, "That's not smoke. That's air conditioning." Mommy, I see smoke. Mommy, I see smoke. And she's like, "Stop it, Lindsay. That's not smoke." And the dad was like, "What are you talking about? I see smoke, Daddy. Watch." And I would do it on purpose.
Like right after they look away.
Right after they fucking go, look, what? And then she finally, like an hour in, she goes, I see something, but we don't understand. She goes, that's weird. Okay, I'll ask the pilot. And that was it. Nobody said fucking nothing.
Nobody
else.
Cares. As long as you don't blow it in anybody's face, nobody gives a fuck, dude. You know what I mean? It makes actually the plane smell better.
Do you work the Tempe Improv?
I don't, not yet.
When you work the Tempe Improv, they put you in this ritzy boopsy hotel. Mm-hmm. I've been staying there for years. That's the one time they put Rogan in my room, me in Rogan's room. I get to Rogan's room, I got a palace. I go downstairs to knock on his door, and he's got the little chintzy room. I'm like, dog, come up late. I got to show you something. So we went to dinner on the way back. I go, look at my room. He's like, fuck, they gave you my room. But we've been staying there for a long time. Mm-hmm. So this last time I stayed there, they have a smoking balcony. So I would roll joints and go out with my blue. And they'd be having conferences. There's a restaurant underneath, a La Fresco restaurant outside. There's a little area where they have conferences, and there's like a little sitting deck. And I would fucking light a joint and smoke it like a chimney. And when they were looking around, I'd just have my blue out there. But I'd have my joint in my right hand. I fucked with them for a whole weekend. Josh, they couldn't figure. They were everywhere. And then I would leave the joint for them in the ashtray like a fucking, like Spider-Man. Then the next day I would go to, they have a way that you could walk out of the vestibule through a thin alley. But guess what? If it's windy, you could smoke in that alley and it goes right back to the thing. Again, I'm watching them fucking with radios. I smell it in the north corner. I had them going fucking bananas for four fucking, I love torturing people with marijuana smoke. It's one of my most favorite fucking things. There's something I got to talk to you about because you mentioned it, but you didn't fucking mention it.
What's that?
You and I share a certain passion. That's the reason why you're sitting on the chair. It's not even the passion. I love you as a producer and creator of the goddamn comedy show, and you do a great job. And I'm happy you put me on. But there's a main reason why you're sitting there, and I love you as much as I do. A couple of years ago, you suffered a loss, and I live in L.A. a long time. I've gone through a couple of losses in L.A., especially at the Comedy Store, and they always turn it into... No, leave it right there. They always turn it into L.A. theatrical experience, you know. I had Marilyn, who died in 2007, around the time I stopped doing blow. And I remember all these people that came to me and cried at the fucking thing, and I see them on her birthday. They never come up to me. There's only one person who calls me on her birthday. And every time I'm driving to the Comedy Store, I think about it. Mm-hmm. This could have been her driving instead of me. You know, you just think it's not something that I put on myself with sad music.
Sure.
And just on the way down, I say a little prayer for Marilyn, you know, because she would have been down there with me at the Comedy Store. And you find yourself in life. I had early losses as a child. These kids in grammar school. In 99, I had one of my best friends that was a fucking savage, but he loved that I did comedy. I have their pictures up. And every Monday, I put a glass of water and I say a prayer for them. And I live for them in a way. I go, you know what, man? And I know you were tight with Angelo. Mm-hmm. I remember for years you wore it heavy. It messed with you. And I know for a fact that when I read the goddamn Comedy Jam picked up, I thought of fucking Angelo.
Do you want to hear something?
Oh, my God.
Do you want to hear something even creepier? Oh, my God. When you hear something even crazier,
sorry I brought this up.
No.
This is what men do.
I love I love talking about Angelo Bowers because I want other people that don't know about him to look him up and look up his comedy because he was great. He was one of the best. So anybody listening, like, look up Angelo Bowers. There's not a lot of clips of him, but the ones that are up there are great. Where we shot the hour special was literally 200 feet away from where the accident was. Before the shoot,
Life's a motherfucker.
So I went to the accident spot and I chilled out and I put on some music and I kind of just got present, talked to him a little bit, and went in and did the show.
Now, not to take the subject off you, but just to let our listeners know, if you really want to get fucked up, you put two pieces of nicotine gum in your mouth, chew it for 2 minutes, and drink a gallon of water.
Holy shit.
That washes that nicotine gum right into your stomach. you'll never feel a surge like that in your life before. I gotta be honest with you. First time I read that, first thing that came to my mind was fucking Angelo.
Yeah, for sure.
Made it fucking work from up above. And then now you tell me this, that it was 200 fucking feet from the accident. You're like,
oh, he's, dude, the reason I'm still doing stand up, the reason I'm doing this show is because of him. He was the guy that told me to do it. You know what I mean?
It's so weird. I try to tell, I'm 53, and I wouldn't be if I didn't get signs. You get signs, man. You get signs, and you can't tell people because right away they'll call a straitjacket for you and go, you're fucking crazy. You're retarded. But you know in your heart, Jesus Christ, look what this motherfucker did. Look what he laid out for me. He went, but he never forgot me, and he's watching me. He watches me. Sometimes when I want to make a left, someone may tell me to make a right, and you're like, fuck, what made me do that? Mm-hmm. And you're like, you know, one of these motherfucking ghosts that I got on my back, because they don't leave. They don't leave. They go into a hole, and that fucking soul lasts, and they watch, man. But I got to tell you, I always thank Angelo for you for that, because when I saw that fucking thing, I go, wow. Wipe some motherfucking. I know you said the same thing, and now you proved it to me. So,
well, he was the guy that told me to do the show. He told me, he goes, this is like, I mean, I don't even know how long ago it was, but he was still alive, so I'm probably like 2010, 2011. He's like, dude, he's like, you're great doing stand-up, but, and I can tell you're having fun, but there's something about you doing music where it's undeniable. It's like, you got to figure out a way to combine both those, whether it's a show or it's a this or it's a that, but just figure it out. And so when all that shit happened in 2012, and then you spend, you know, like I got sober, and then like started, then I got Montreal and shit didn't start going right. And I was like, I don't even know if I want to do this anymore. Then I heard him just be like, well, you do that show. And I was like, yeah, you're right. You know what I mean? I should do that show because I'm not going to give up. If I gave up, he would have been even more pissed. And so I just listened to what he said, and it just, it's like when we have like the roadies on the show, if you remember, we have Jeremiah Watkins and Johnny Skordis. And Johnny, when I asked him to be the roadie, I said to him, I was like, would you want to be it? And he goes, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I go, just do what Angelo would think is funny. And just do with the shit you used to do with him. Like, because Andrew used to, like, see us and, like, puff his chest out and be, like, super, like, aggressive. But he was, like, just kidding with us because he's, like, the nicest dude ever. And I was like, just do that. And that's what he does. You know what I mean? It's literally, he's got his hand in every part of this show. And it's just he's directing it. And that's what he's making. It's so easy is because he's there, man. You know, he's 100% there.
Good for you, man.
Thank you.
I'm happy it all worked out. I'm happy that you got a sign. I'm happy that, you know, this all worked out. And you're a great kid.
Thank you, buddy.
I've seen you grow up around here. And it's good to see these guys, you know, with the traffic and with the come and go that we have. When you see somebody stick around and just stick to what he's been doing. You know, you, Dean, a bunch of guys I've seen grow right in fucking front of me. So it does something. Let me give some shout outs. Teddy Gregory. Dustin and Oasis, Bob Lalingus, Sergio Ortega, my man Matt Baker up there in Bakersfield, Dustin Lukey, Ari Stidham, Nobo in Japan, you bad motherfucker, and Ted Zoltan. What are you, nuts or what? So what's up with you, Lee Cocksucker? What'd you think of the barbecue in Austin? Give people the review.
Well, it was great.
Where have you had barbecue? I made barbecue wings on Tupelo Sunday.
The wings at the hotel were great. But, okay, so I had it. The first time we went to Austin, we were staying in this weird location. So I just took a cab one day, and it was like a chain. People know it. I talked to people about it in Austin. It's a chain that's in, like, gas stations, sort of. But it was good. I enjoyed it. And then this time, we had, luckily, Bobby Sharon, and he took me to Black's. And there wasn't, like, because I would love, in theory, to try Franklin's, but I can't. I was talking to some people, they get there like 6 in the morning. That's too much. That's, I can't do that. So, Black's, there was like a line for like 5 minutes. We got it. Bobby Sharon tricked me, though. He told me to get a beef rib, which I didn't know was like the Flintstones style
Did
rib.
Did you eat the whole thing?
No, I couldn't. I ate most. I got half a pound of brisket that. I got a. Oof. Potato salad.
I'm starving right now. Oh, you're just talking about barbecue.
What do you think of Texas as a whole?
It has a really bad reputation where I'm from. It's really weird. Because, I don't know. It's, where I'm from is mostly Democrat, I would guess. And there's mostly Republican. And it's crazy how much it divides people. So I always hear about Texas, like, I forget who we were talking about, but someone was driving cross country and they said, don't stop in these towns. Like, that's what people would say to me about Texas. Like, you don't want to be a Jew in Texas. And then when I moved out here, I started hearing about Austin with South by, you know what it might have been, how this dates me, but I was a kid and The Real World was there. The show was, and they had like a video thing, and that was their job. They were working at South by Southwest. And that was right when I wanted to start doing video. So I was like, oh, that Austin might be fucking cool. That might be nice. And then you hear about it. And every time I go, it changed my life driving cross country here the first time, because I drove through the South and they're just fucking nicer. They're even at the gas station, it's just sweet. Like you said you hate Waffle House. I'll always love Waffle House because every time you go in, they're nice.
When I was, yeah, the food's bad.
I know.
You love it.
The food's terrible. Oh, the food's fucking terrible. The service has got like a smile.
You can't mess up a waffle. I mean, just don't get eggs.
But who goes in there for fucking waffles?
It's a Waffle House.
That doesn't mean you go in there for fucking waffles.
Yes, you do.
I've sat in there with 10 times. I never had a waffle.
I've never got the eggs there.
I went to Waffle House for the first time when I was in Tennessee doing Bonnaroo. And everybody's like, you got to get the hash browns. What are they called?
I don't know. I haven't been that often.
They're like, it's like cheese and something else on. They're called like, split it and win it. Say if like a day, like a
somewhere,
Nick,
yeah,
something,
yeah.
Something real quasi racist. You know what I mean? Somebody made up, and it was bullshit. It was literally just like hash browns you get at Denny's with a piece of cheddar cheese on it.
Oh,
yeah, I don't get anything but waffles there. But the whole point was, the past two times, both times, just everyone I meet, whenever we get to go out and say hi, or everyone's just so nice to me there, and it's.
First of all, I've never looked at it as a Republican or a Democrat. I've never considered myself anything as a child, nothing. I always thought that was the dumbest fucking thing I ever heard in my life. So I've never thought about it that way. But let me tell you the reality about Texas. For me, in my life, I cut my comedy teeth in Texas.
You were saying?
If I break my dates down that I worked in Texas, it would have probably been 5 years, 6 years out of my 25 years. And they went along for the rides. You know, I bombed in a lot of places. Austin was one of them. I used to bomb in Austin all the time. Because they're conservative in a way.
Well, isn't Austin a little bit more like, it's kind of like a...
It's artsy.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more, people say it's more free thinking. I've had great times in fucking Houston and Dallas. I've had great times. I've had great times in El Paso. One of the nights of comedy I laughed the hardest in my life was in Amarillo Comedy Club. It's closed now. It's not even thought to be a comedy club. One of the hardest nights I ever laughed in. And there was six people in the audience.
Who was it?
It was myself and Mike Fabian was the feature act. And I tell you this, two guys, this girl had the waitress there, who had the biggest breast you ever saw in your life, and they were real. She was a chubby Mexican girl, but her tits had something happened to her, and she was about to go for the surgery.
To get them reduced?
To get them reduced, like by half, because they were just ginormous. And she wasn't a stripper, she was a student. They had to stop going to school because they ridiculed.
Jesus.
Her mother was Mexican, the dad was Mexican. They owned the Mexican restaurant next door to it. And there was a comedy club there. Froggy Bottoms had been there for years.
Uh-huh.
See if Froggy Bottoms is still open.
In what city?
Amarillo, Texas. Or I think it's Amarillo. But let's just ask Froggy Bottoms Comedy Club. And that club, they closed and they felt so bad. They opened it as a restaurant. But then people started coming and going, where's the comedy? And they started calling. They didn't know what they were doing. Mm-hmm. They had no idea. They knew nothing.
They have one in Lubbock.
Lubbock. Is it still open?
I think so.
Let's see. Lubbock. It wasn't Amarillo. Amarillo was Kelly Moran's
club. No, it closed, according to Yelp.
How long ago?
Let me check that. I don't know.
Because it was like Rose's Mexican Restaurant. Lee Syatt, your head would have blown up at this place. I never forgot how good the tamale was. with lettuce and cheese on top of the lettuce.
Did they get it from the restaurant next door?
The restaurant owned the comedy club. They ended up buying it. And they had a daughter named Julia.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know nothing about promotions, nothing. We get there, they had a condo that they bought from the comedy club. Nice condo, nice little fucking 3 days. But that particular night, I was on stage for 6 people. And there was one guy that was drinking doubles. And every time he'd look at it, you could see that her tits were getting bigger. Right? He would just look at them. And like at first, it was like he was very polite. He was a Christian man. You could see that he was raised well. But after 6 drinks, those titties are those titties.
He popped a couple nicotine gums, and he was off to the race.
He was off and running. And he would just sit there and go, "Oh yeah!" Like he just, and every time it was like he was in his living room calling his wife.
Yeah.
And every time he'd look at her, he'd go, like he looked at her, like, "Look at the size of your titties, Julia." And then she would walk away and he'd go, "Julia." So by the end of the show, he was fucking hammered. Hammered by the end of the show. And all he would say is, "Julia." And he would doze off for 2 minutes and people would goofing on him and throwing shit at him. And he'd wake up and he'd go, "Julia." And that was it. He went home saying Julia. And every time he said Julia, I got to tell you, it was funnier than anything I had to say. Because I was on stage just laughing at him. The alcohol put him into that man on fire, osmosis.
Yeah.
You're just getting drunk. You didn't pass out yet. And you're mumbling things to yourself. He was mumbling things about his childhood. I mean, there was a mental health issue.
Do you drink? A drinker? I don't think I was going to say. I don't think I've ever seen you had a drink.
I'm so paranoid of drinking and driving up that fucking hill.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody hits me and the cop says, "Have you been drinking?" And I got to tell him yes. Then I got to fucking pee in a bottle. We'll get a needle in my fucking arm. We'll give a breathalyzer.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather not do anything at all.
Sure.
You know, in 1980, I did a hit of acid. I went to Aerosmith, and on the way home, I saw this accident. Car was on fire, and it was a girl fucking cut in half in an RX-7. They were trying to take her and the boyfriend out. Alcohol everywhere. And that night, I made a mental note. I'm never drinking fucking drive in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have a machine gun and a dead body in my trunk, and it will not bother me as much as if I have
one sip of
alcohol and drive.
Yeah.
If I see one cop, I fall apart. I do not fall apart for anything. If I'm drinking, it's like being in a stolen car. I never stole a car in my life. It's the dumbest thing in the world. They caught you in. You're in it. That's it. I can't lose it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not like, what are you talking about? I didn't see no credit card. Search the house. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We didn't find the credit card. Okay. There's litigation. What happened to the card? I got them all fucked up on the fucking investigation. With a police car, with a cop, with a stolen car, I'm in it. It's the same thing with drinking and driving. I always thought I'm in it. I would not snort coke and get behind a wheel of a fucking car.
You got really mad at me when you heard that I drink and drive, even when I waited until I'd like, yeah.
No. It's not even accepted in my world because it's old news. That's old fucking news.
Yeah, by this point, everybody should know.
That's old fucking news, yeah.
Especially with the day and age of Uber.
Yeah. No. It's old fucking news.
Yeah.
To me, in my world, it was no old news 15 years ago. Like 15 years ago, if they caught you drinking and driving, you should have got smacked, knocked the fuck out of you, and 10 days automatically in jail. That's how I really feel. Like 10 days, well, I have something tomorrow. Too bad. It's like when they catch you with a gun in Manhattan. You get if you get caught with a handgun on no license in Manhattan or something, they have that law, and you go right to the tombs. You get processed the next morning.
Really?
You're going home. There's no saying goodbye to your family. There's no telling your work that you fucked up. That's the consequences. You know, and until you do consequences like that. Like, I was in prison with 2 guys that were the nicest kids in the world. I went out for 3 drinks after the prom. I went out one night after Chi Beta Kappa. They had 4 beers and they ran into a fed. They don't fuck around in some states. Both of them killed somebody or put somebody in the hospital, you know. Right there, that's it. Right there, that's it. Not only number two, I'm a comic. Without a car?
Yeah.
That's a lonely career, dog. I saw it. I saw it 2 or 3 times. Comics, I got DUIs in Denver when I was first starting. They got to call you and you got to meet them and then they live in the edge of hell. No. I'll drive my own fucking car. I don't want no creepy motherfuckers in my car smoking cigarettes, listening to Shangri-La music, and I got to put up with that shit for a fucking hour. Fuck you and the horse you rode up on, man. No, 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 no. So, no. There's so many disadvantages to a bus for me. You want to scare Joey Diaz? Tell him he's got to take a bus on. That's it. I'll take a train in New York to cop an ounce of coke or to get a slice of pizza or something.
Yeah, it's different. But bus,
this night, man, no. And the bus, no, 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 no. I'm too old for the fucking bus. So
yeah.
Never will I drink and drive.
Well, in New York, it's like getting on the subway is just like, it's nothing. It's just, it's a beautiful thing. It's like part of the city. And like, you know, and you have the option to take a cab because it's more accessible. But in LA, it's like, if you don't have a car, you're fucked,
I don't
man.
Have weed in my car at night. I don't smoke at night. I just don't smoke.
You can get caught here with weed and they won't do anything, right?
No, but I'll smoke when I come over to help. But why? Yeah, you have to show them your license. Then they talk to you and they give you a ticket. Then you got to go to court with that fucking license and then plead out. They're still going to make you go to court. You're still going to get a ticket for it.
Even if you have a joint?
I don't know. I don't know. But I've heard, why take the chance?
Sure.
Because that Thursday, I have to leave town for fucking one of my biggest weeks. You know what I'm saying? Like one of my favorite weeks. And I got to call that comedy club and tell them why, because this, it resonates.
I get it.
That type of shit resonates. So you know what? At night, I don't want to smoke. I smoke when I come over the hill. As soon as I get over the hill, I spark. I pull over.
You don't smoke at the comedy store?
Since I've been back there one night with one of the kids, I took two. I had a joint and I gave it to him, and I felt weird that I was giving him a joint and not smoking it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want them to say, Joey, what the fuck? What'd you put in there? You know what I'm saying? So I took two hits just to let it was a waitress. I didn't want her to think.
I get it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I never, but besides that, I don't really try to. And it was shitty weed. They give me one of those free joints from a fucking.
From the things, yeah.
From one of the dispensaries.
Yeah.
Apparently, they're working on a way to figure out if you're high.
Yeah, that's why, no. Why just break the habit?
Just talk to him long enough and you'll find out. You know what I mean? All you got to do is ask him a couple questions. Like, I mean, alcohol is so easy. It's just on your breath. Weed is, it's like, you can tell, man. You can tell people are high.
I have a high fucking tolerance for marijuana and edibles. The other night, I ate 1,000 milligrams and I was driving home and I'm like, I'm not high.
No.
Like, I wouldn't get in the car if I even had, like, a suspicion. There's tons of night. Me and Leah still sit here 2 hours afterward just talking. And in reality, it's just because I don't want to get in the fucking car.
Because you're so high? Or you just don't want to drive?
Yeah, I just know that there's a time when I could get in the car and there's a time when I can't get in the fucking car.
Yeah.
I know. Even when you smoke a couple of joints, it's you'll hit a garbage can or one of those mirrors that's sticking out. I've been down that road already, guys. I wouldn't fucking talk shit unless I knew about it. You know, I don't crash cars. I hit garbage cans and those cones. God always puts those cones in my way. And rearview mirrors. I've knocked off 10 rearview mirrors when I'm on. Two of my own and 10 of somebody else's, you know? So you just know. You know when you get in the car, man.
Driving's tough as is sober. Like, it's just there's so many fucking dickheads on the road that...
I got cut off on the way here tonight. In a way, guys, that you gotta pull over and say, call him a fucking cunt. I hope your mother's head blows up when she's sucking your father's dick or something evil to them.
You had to pop two nicotine gums to calm yourself down.
But I'm on age. I don't have time for it. I don't even have time to beep anymore. If you're that fucking retarded, you're going to get yours. You're going to get yours because I could have been drunk and doing 90. And you want to play that, let me just do it right so you can slow down and fuck with you a little bit, really? There you go. There you go right there. They just caught another one. Let me get the paperwork. What's up, Lee?
Did you ever have, like, when I first started dating Paula, she would, like, get upset because of how upset I'd get behind the wheel. And she didn't, like, it's weird how it you get so upset, but it doesn't really stay with you. At least for me, it doesn't. Like, I'll get furious while I'm driving.
I've thrown paint cans at people.
I used to keep, in my Jeep, like, bolts, and I used to throw those at cars. That would do fucked up shit.
One night on the fucking one of those, the five for 10 miles, I fought with a guy throwing pennies at him. I cracked his fucking windshield. He chased me. I pulled off. I threw more pennies at him. I got his windshield. And I went home and I go, what the fuck did I just do? What the fuck? How old am I? What the fuck is this shit? This guy could have had a fucking missile launcher. He could have been ISIS on his way to a fucking house party. And here I am throwing pennies at some fucking guy from my middle console because he cut me off. You know what? These type of guys, They like cut somebody off and somebody's texting and he's doing 90s. I take the rear end. This guy's going to be in a fucking wheelchair the rest of his life and he'll figure it out. He'll figure it the fuck out.
Yeah, I used to get mad. I don't do it anymore.
You can't get mad,
man. I had a buddy that would just scream bloody murder, man. People, I mean, like, it was his dad. I think he thought that's his dad did it, so he thought it was cool if he did it. And, I mean, he would fucking just, yeah, fuck. And it's like, dude, you look ridiculous right now. The guy, he has no idea. Like, just give him the finger and move on. I mean, if you can get up close to him. Dude, I had a woman do something so stupid recently. On Sunset, where like I could have died, another car could have died, and so I pulled up next to her, and I had my window down, and in like the super most calm way, I was like, "Do you realize what you could have done? You almost killed me and another car." And she just stared straight ahead.
They don't care. They do not care.
She stared straight ahead. She just rolled her window up when she saw me coming up, and she could hear me.
They do not care.
They don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck. You look stupid even trying. That's what I'm saying.
That they, when people have that attitude, they're not going to change. And soon enough, someday, they're going to get this.
Oh, for sure.
You know it. Now, at this point, I'm like, it's not even worth it.
I've got so many
tickets. God bless you.
I've got so many tickets. When I first got my Cadillac, man, like, I didn't realize how fast it was. And I got a shitload of tickets. Also, I was
STS?
I got a, you know, CTS, CTSV. Oh. And I didn't realize how fast dude, it's fucking V8. It's powerful as fuck. And also, I was on opiates because when I got it, I was like, that was when I still used it. So I was fucking, dude, one time I got from the Hollywood Improv to the Irvine Improv in like 35 minutes. Like I was going 120 the whole way at 11 o'clock at night so I could make my spot with Destiny Barr and Nick. Yeah, just fucking just bawling. I got so many tickets and it literally like my insurance went up, all this other shit to the point now where I take my time. My dad used to always say that. He's like, dude, just take your time. You're going to get there. Just, you know, be a defensive driver. I took all the, I had to take classes. I had to do all this shit to keep my license. And now, I mean, I literally drive.
I'm a defensive driver, but I don't take my time.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah. No,
you know what I mean.
No,
don't.
No,
like, there's going, like, there's like going 70, 80 miles an hour, but there's also going 70, 80 miles an hour in a straight line, not going jing, and just curving through different cars. That's when you're going to, like.
Yeah, no, you'll end up dead.
Yeah, that's when you end up dead, you know? Dude, I used to fucking, you know, smoke. I always liked smoking weed and driving. Like, drinking and driving, I was actually good at. I have 3 DUIs, but
some people are good at that shit. There you go. Check it out. They just sent me pictures from Black Sabbath.
You should have gone, dude. I feel like such an ass. We could have done this tomorrow night.
No, not at all, my friend. We couldn't have done it tomorrow night. Check it out.
Let me see.
I don't know how to fucking do this.
Judgment guy's calling.
He's right there, too.
Let me see. Oh, Lord, no. I just saw, speaking of Rage Against the Machine.
You just went to see?
I just saw Prophets of Rage.
How were they?
Okay. Here's the deal. Rage Against the Machine is not, it's like this. Tom Morello, the band is incredible, but Zach De La Roca is that he's what makes that band. He's like the icing on a delicious cake already. It's so perfect with him as a lead singer to have Chuck D and Be Real. It just wasn't good enough in my opinion. And it's like this, like if Queen wants to tour, right? Like they have to get a new singer because Freddie Mercury died. Zach De La Roca is living in Tustin. Like, he's there. He can do the goddamn show if he wants to. It's like, that's what hurt me even more. It's like, why can't he just do it? We need Rage Against the Machine right now. With all the fucked up political shit going on in the world, like, you need that voice. You need this band more right now than ever before they came out. Like, this is it. With fucking Trump running for president? Like, we need that band and giving the finger to the fucking man. And it was like, I've seen Rage Against the Machine live. Who is probably the best live band I've ever seen. So it just didn't live up to it. Everybody else was going apeshit bananas. Whoa. They were going fucking bananas. And I was just like, you motherfuckers have no idea. You don't know. These are for people. It's like there was literally like a Rage Against the Machine cover band.
It was an amateur hour. And they all fucking took the bait.
They took the bait.
That's all. And it's, you know what? When you're watching them, unless you're fucking an amateur, you're like, this is just something that'll be for a while. You know, I came, I enjoyed it.
You know what I did? fucking drank two Red Bulls, popped probably like 15 pieces of nicotine gum, and just fucking rode that wave, baby.
Forget about it. Forget it. You got to do the nicotine gum with the sugarless fucking Red Bull.
That's what I did. I did that before I came here, dude, on the ride here.
What the fuck do you think you're dealing with? Huh? These amateurs do the sugar Red Bull. It's without the sugar that puts you on a different fucking planet. You understand me?
I love you.
No, you got that was, you got
you have no idea how much that moment when you saw that nicotine gum and like, let me get a piece.
Fuck.
That made me, that was the greatest part of my whole life.
I'm going to go get a pack myself, 12 milligrams.
I'll give you a 10 pack in my car, baby. I'll throw it at you.
Let's do it. That's good
shit. I couldn't get you the juju beads that you wanted, so I'll give you some nicotine gum.
I don't read a lot of magazines. I really don't. From time to time, I'll read People. I like the first couple pages of People. I sure. Like Rolling Stone, the first couple pages of Rolling Stone. Or if I see like a specific article about the Rolling Stone, they did a bunch of articles about Pink Floyd last year, so mm-hmm. I picked them up. Jerry Rocha picks them up, whatever. That's my experience with it. But this texture that I'm going to tell you guys about, I've heard nothing but great things from people who fly, especially people who fly and have three or four magazines. Some people read magazines the way some people fucking listen to podcasts. So thanks to pizza, we're all binge eating. Thanks to Netflix, we're all binge watching. But now with texture, you could start to binge read like what people are fucking doing. Trust me, it's about to be a thing. When it comes to magazines, you know what you like. And with texture, you can get all the magazines you want in one super convenient place. Texture has completely reimagined magazines, giving you the articles and stories you really want all in one place, plus interactive features, videos, and recommendations just for you, okay? The Texture app lets you tap into the world's most popular magazines anytime, any place, using your smartphone or tablet. Breeze through hundreds of favorite magazines, including back issues, magazines like Motor Trend, Men's Journal, Men's Health, Men's Fitness, Entrepreneur, ESPN Magazine, Forbes, Fortune, Sports Illustrated, Teen Vogue, The New Yorker, This Old House, Vanity Fair, Today's Parent, Town and Country, and the list goes on and on. Texture has made it easy to find articles you care about. I don't just get to read these magazines I mentioned, but you can also get the other ones I mentioned, from Ski to Smithsonian to Southern Living to Sports Illustrated Kids to Successful Farming. I mean, it goes on and on and on. What I'm going to do is this. Sign up for Texture right now and gain inside access to all the content from the world's best publications. The best part is Texture is offering my listeners a free trial right now. When you go to texture.com/Joey, you'll gain immediate entry to all the top magazines, including back issues and bonus video content. Start binge reading for free right now when you go to texture.com/Joey. Again, that's texture.com/Joey. The Texture app is entirely digital, so it's super environmentally friendly way to consume the best magazines and articles. Again, right now, free. Go to texture.com/Joey. Lee. So far, how many pounds have you? Well, I know you fucking blew up.
I blew up in Austin, but I've been really. Blue Apron has really been helping me. I wasn't cooking before Blue Apron. It was too much to go get recipes, and I was cooking the same two things with Blue Apron. It literally comes to my house with everything that I need. So I'm a jerk. I'm a jerk if I don't do it now.
What days does it come?
It's coming tomorrow. It comes Tuesday every week.
You're going to go on a mission tomorrow. I'm going to come by and rob the fucking shipment. What order are you getting tomorrow?
Let's see. I don't know. I'm looking forward. I haven't even looked to see what I'm getting. It's like, I like it because you can go like a month in advance and like pick your meals. But then because I just forget, and it's like a surprise when it comes in. Let's see what I'm getting. Give me 2 seconds.
And you like all the stuff that comes in the box. You eat the vegetables. You use all the products to the end.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say everything has been my favorite meal, but like it's been interesting because I did that juice thing for a while, and I had kale, and he made fun of it. And a couple of the things have had kale in it. And I was like, eh, that's not going to be good. It was like a kale, corn, stir fry thing. Okay. It was pretty good.
As long as you like the ingredients, let me talk to you about Blue Apron. Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients taste better and are better for you. So it's important to know where your food comes from. Talk about, For less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron will deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make your delicious home-cooked meal. Pre-portioned, that's the package right there. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals. So they set the highest quality standards for their community, suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranches. Whether it's the Japanese ramen noodles or the wild-caught Alaskan salmon or the heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best, okay? What we're going to do is this. It's nice and simple. They mail you a box, right, Lee?
Yeah, they mail you a box with everything. So this week, listen to this. I'm getting Korean pork tacos with spicy red cabbage slaw. I'm also getting blackened chicken with zucchini, rice, corn, and cherry tomatoes. And then I'm getting brown butter and thyme gnocchi with mushrooms and Swiss chard.
Look at the other. Ooh. Look at this. Crispy salmon and orzo salad.
Yeah, that might be the family
crispy plan. Pork chops with lemon mustard olioli. Chicken fried rice. I mean, this is just tremendous. Summer squash with mozzarella and focaccia pizza. New recipes are created weekly and are not repeated within the year. Choose your meals from a variety of recipes or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Listen, you make up your own mind. You're killing yourself. For less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron will give you the dinner of your life. Let's do this. I'm going to do this for you tonight. You're going to get your first three meals for free. That's free. F-R-E-E with free shipping to boot by going to blueapron.com/Joey. That's blueapron.com/Joey. Thank you guys for listening to the show. Don't forget, most important, there's a few fucking tickets left for New York City. Don't hit me up on Twitter saying, Joey, there's no tickets left. Last week in Austin, same fucking thing happened. Friday, all day on Twitter. Joey, I got no tickets. Guess there's nothing. There's nothing. I get four people and I'm going to New York. So don't come crying to me. If you want tickets, I know Saturday night sold out already in New York.
Oh, shit.
There's three fucking days to rock the house. Get on those motherfuckers. And I don't have another date till the last. No, there's only three more. No expectation shows. And that's October 29th at the fucking Ice House. So you got New York and the Ice House the week after that. What do you got coming up, Tarzan?
October 4th, we're going to be at the Roxy, the goddamn comedy jam at the Roxy. Every Thursday night, you can see me at the Hollywood Improv for the Midnight Snack. Sometimes it's Thursday night, sometimes it's Saturday. Check my Instagram on that bullshit to find out. Also, we'll be at the New York Comedy Festival November. Fuck, I should probably look at this because you're talking about it. Hold on. Well, we're going to be at Houston.
No, we're in Houston.
We're in Houston in November. What date? Tell them the date.
November 18th. I just don't know what exactly is the time. I think it's a whole weekend
festival. It's a whole thing.
So I know I'm there Friday night, one night. So
we're doing November 5th. We're at Gramercy Theater if you're in New York to see the goddamn comedy jam, guys. You can check me out on all social media is Josh Adam Myers. The goddamn comedy jam is the GD comedy jam, man. And watch it on Comedy Central and say a prayer, and hopefully we go to series, and then Joey Diaz can do a much better quality taping of Killing in the Name of Fucking Dude. We'll do Freedom by Rage Against the Machine.
Fuck yeah, we'll do.
No, we gotta do. Girls just want to have fun.
Fucking whipping post. We'll do everything. Lisa, yeah, we might be back tomorrow. We might not. We might just see you next week. But don't forget, we love you, cocksucker. Stay black. Have a great day. Thank you, Josh.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Flying Jew. I love you both. Stay black, cocksuckers.
This show was brought to you by Blue Apron. Go to blueapron.com/Joey right now and check out this week's menu. When you sign up at blueapron.com/Joey, you're going to get your first three meals for free with free shipping. So go to blueapron.com/Joey right now and sign up for Blue Apron. You're going to get your first three meals for free with free shipping. The show is also brought to you by Texture. Go to texture.com/Joey right now, and they're offering our listeners a free trial when you go to texture.com/Joey. You'll gain immediate entry to all the top magazines, including back issues and bonus content. So start binge reading for free right now when you go to texture.com/Joey. Texture.com/Joey. Do you know what you want to close with?
Rage Against the Machine, Killing in the Name of.
Yeah, dude. Oh, so much. I got to pee so bad.
Go ahead. Thank you, brother. Thank
you.
Oh,
my God. Please. That was great. Dude, I'm like, my favorite part of the whole thing was when we talked about nicotine gum. That made me laugh so fucking hard.
Please.
Yeah, this is yours.
faces are the same that bar crosses. Some of those that work forces are the same that bar crosses. Some of those that work forces are the same that bar crosses. Some of those that work forces draw the same that bar crosses. Do what they told you. Now you 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 do what they told you. Some of those that work forces are the same that brought crosses. Some of those that work forces are the same that brought crosses. Some of those that work forces are the same that brought crosses. You do what they told you. Now 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 you're under control. Now you do what they told you. Now you're under control. Now you do what they told you. Now you're under control. Now you do what they told you. Now you're under control. Now you do what they told you. Now you're under control. Now you do what they told you. Now you're under control. Now you do what they told you. Now you're under control. Now you do what they told you. Don't you die.
Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me.